Loving Father, we thank you for the privilege to speak words of life. We pray for God, the Holy Spirit, to touch our hearts now. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to thank our young people for singing, and I want to share with you that I know that many of our young people were at the camp out last week with several thousand other pathfinders, and I was not there, but I was there because someone sent me a video of their black light presentation, and I wish you would have heard the response of the other 2,000 young people to their presentation. I mean, it was heartwarming. And in fact, many of you have not had an opportunity to see that, and we're planning in the future to make sure that you see what so many people are excited about. And so I want to thank you, young people. I'd like to thank Alex for teaching them that particular endeavor. I'm not sure what to call it, but when you see it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. First, I want to acknowledge the historic event of our nation choosing Barack Obama to be the 44th president of the United States. I'm happy about the selection. I'm elated to see a person of color be elected to the highest office in the world. When just over four decades ago, people of color couldn't even vote. You know, our nation has come a long way. Now, you know that I wasn't going to get up here and not say something about that. So don't act surprised. You know, our nation selecting a black man by the name of Barack Hussein Obama? Come on, folks. You know we've come a long way. Think about it. He was not the first African American to run for president. Many of you have forgotten Jesse Jackson and Shirley Chisholm and Allen Keyes. But this nation made a choice of Barack Obama. The others didn't even get close. Didn't even get out of the primaries, but this particular person was chosen by our nation. And I just want to say that we need to pray that he will have a safe and productive presidency. And I prayed that prayer for President Bush, and I'll just change the name to Barack Obama. So I'm not doing anything new. So pray for him that the Lord would direct his steps. The title of the message for this afternoon is, Who is the Greatest? Who is the Greatest? And as great as the event of electing a president is, we cannot call Barack Obama great. At least not yet. Or if ever. The title great is reserved for very few. I can only think of a few names. The one that comes to mind was Alexander the Great. And if you study his history, at least from the standpoint of military campaigns, he was a military genius. And then another sports figure comes to mind, who had the audacity to call himself great. In fact, he said he was the greatest. Anybody dare to guess who that could be? Muhammad Ali, who said he was the greatest as it relates to boxing. And you would probably get arguments from old-timers who remember Rocky Marciano and Joe Louis. But I will admit that Ali will probably go down in history as one of the greatest as it relates to boxing. Who is the greatest? The disciples had this question on their minds. If you would turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, the scripture that was read, they had the greatest on their mind. Who is the greatest? Well, I'll just tell you, to me, the greatest is Jesus Christ. Jesus was the greatest. Jesus is the greatest. He is the greatest of all time. Can you say amen? In Mark chapter 9, disciples heard Jesus talking about being killed. They heard Jesus talking about going to the cross. And so the disciples began discussing who was the greatest among themselves. You see, they were planning to take Jesus' place. So they were gathering among themselves saying, which one of us is the greatest? And Jesus, no doubt, picked up this conversation. Verse 33 of chapter 9. And then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they started talking. Oh, I was checking to see if y'all are awake. What the Bible says? The Bible says they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. They were a little embarrassed about talking about a successor to Jesus. And so they kept quiet. And in verse 35, and he sat them down, called the 12, and he says, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servants of a few. Servants of all. Imagine them thinking that they were going to take Jesus' place. The Holy Spirit is coming to take Jesus' place, not the disciples. Society measures greatness by how many supporters and how many helpers and how many donations we have. But Jesus sat the 12 down. Then he took a child, put the child in the middle of the disciples, and put the child in his arms. And he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me, and whoever receives me not, but him who sent me. Jesus took the most powerless person he could have found, a child, and sat the child in the midst of the disciples and said, if you receive one of the little children, you receive me and him who sent me. In the midst, throughout all of the presidential campaigns, you know something? I told my Sabbath school class, I am happy with the results, but I'm so glad this is over. This has been going on for 2 years. So glad it's over. In the midst of all of that, there was something that happened recently. Most states have safe haven laws, but Nebraska, and I didn't know this, even though I pastored in Nebraska. I don't know what took Nebraska so long, but just a month or two ago, they decided to put together safe haven laws. Now, Now, safe haven laws give parents the legal ability to transfer custody of their children to the state. And they generally exist in order that they would be an alternative to abortions, and it would stop people from just discarding their children. So the state of Nebraska enacted safe haven law. And right after they did this, three fathers walked into two Omaha hospitals and abandoned their children. One left nine siblings, ages 1 to 17. A week later, two boys, 11 and 15, were left at the hospital doors. And a week later, a 13-year-old girl was left at the hospital. And so far, there have been 14 kids whose parents have bailed out on them, seven of them teens. Some of them have been put into shelters, and they're dealing with that right now. You know, the safe haven law were made for those one-year-old and below. Nebraska thought they would be creative and left it ambiguous. And that's what happened. Jesus put the children in the midst of the disciples because they were the most innocent and powerless that society had. And Jesus said to them, if you welcome them, then you welcome me. You know, society measures greatness by its ability to include or exclude or to control access to power. President-elect Obama will find out that the most powerful person in Washington is his secretary, who has the appointment book, who can let people in or out to see him. I'm glad that the church, our church, the Fallbrook Church, is about including, not excluding. Aren't you? Amen. That's why what happened this week, even though you may not have voted in that direction, was a watershed mark in the life of this nation. You know, God has a sense of humor. In 2000, during the 2000 convention, Barack Obama couldn't even get a floor pass to the convention, so he went back home. That's in 2000. Isn't that something? 2004, he was a speaker at the 2004 convention, and as David Axelrod was going up on the elevator, he had an Obama pin on his lapel. And the lady got on the elevator with him, and she says, I know you're from Alabama. Some of the people missed that in the first service. And he says, no, I'm not from Alabama. This is Obama. This is a pin for Barack Obama. And he's getting ready to speak at the convention at this time. And 2008. He's the president-elect of this country. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? This nation grew up this week. It did. It grew up. From a person who couldn't even vote because of his color, now could be the president of the United States. We speak volumes to the world. I'd like to thank our nation for speaking volumes to the world. You process that. This is not about whether you're for or against or which party you're for. I hope you can go a little deeper than that. Can you say amen? Could you go a little deeper than just what party? The nation grew up. So you know I would celebrate that event. What did I mean by all of this? You never know whose feet you're watching, you're washing. You never know who's washing your feet. That's why I like this part of our service. It's serving. It's serving. That's what the president's going to find out if he doesn't already know. That they just elected him to be the servant of servants. And who's the servant of all? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the greatest. None other. And he washes our feet. Amen. We're going to separate and wash one another's feet. We traditionally, we go into the fellowship hall as families, and we wash one another's feet. I would like for you to just vary this just a little, if you're able. I want you as a family to find another family and wash each other's feet. Could you do that? Could you find another family to join with your family and wash one another's feet? Let's try to do that if you can. If you are not able to get to the fellowship hall, let us know. And we can arrange for a few people to, this shouldn't be a normal practice, but for those who just can't get to the fellowship hall, let us know and we'll bring some water to you. And you can just stay right where you are. Now, we don't want that to be everybody. We want 99.9 of you to go to the fellowship hall. Amen? But just for the few who are not able to make it to the fellowship hall, we'll make some arrangements to get some water to you, and we can take care of you right here. Did you understand that? Did that make any sense? I didn't get one amen. I'm not sure. Dan, did that make any sense? Okay, I just wanted to make sure I was getting through. Because we want to serve. I want to tell you as we depart to the fellowship and then come back to the table. Maybe you didn't prepare. You didn't come prepared to wash feet, or you wanted to stay here right where you are. Please feel comfortable in doing that. Stay where you are. We'll be right back and we'll come to the table and partake of the bread and the grape. I just want to let you know I was inspired by that word about how Jesus related to the children. And I wanted to thank you, Fallbrook, for how you have related to the children in this church. And asked you to continue on that journey. And I pray that in this next year, that it will be the best year ever in the history of the Fallbrook Church for our young people. Amen. When I've talked to Pastor Sam and Alex, and when we get together, that's what we're talking about. How we can better serve the young people here in this church. Amen? I wanted you to know that. I wanted you to know that we're committed to that, and we'll do whatever we can to make our young people a part of what we do here in this church. Support us in that, would you? As we do that. Would you support us in that? Amen. Thank you. Father, we thank you. We praise you. As we go to wash one another's feet, give us servant hearts, servant hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Please dismiss. You can be dismissed to our fellowship hall, which is right behind me. If you're a guest, if you haven't seen this done before, feel comfortable to come in and partake to see how it's done. You're welcome. If you're a guest, it's usually not that long. We'll be back in about 15 minutes, and then we'll go to the table.